Luke chapter 8. While you're praying for things, make sure that you pray for Brother Reuben when he preaches over the Youth Detention Center. And that's something that I have not had included in our prayer list. But we need to pray for him and his ministry over there as well. Amen? And so pray for that. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Brother Reuben. Yes. Over the Youth Detention Center. He preaches over every Saturday. So that's a greatly needed ministry. Amen. And so make sure we continue to pray for him. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, look if you would, beginning at verse 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. As soon as I get there. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. It says, And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing that they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, real quick there, right there, that's because of what you read over in Isaiah chapter 6. So if you need to write a cross-reference, Isaiah chapter 6 would be the cross-reference there. Then verse 11, he says this, Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I just pray this morning that your message, Lord, will go to the hearts of all these hearers this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll convict those, Lord, that need convicting, that you will, encourage those that need encouraging. Lord, fire up those, Lord, that aren't serving you this morning. And Lord, if there's anybody that are not saved this morning, Lord, I pray that this morning will be the morning that they call upon you for salvation, that they can know for sure that they'll be in heaven one of these days, Lord, and never have to spend an eternity in hell. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to all of our hearts this morning, Lord. We all came here to hear from you, Lord. We all came here to worship you this morning. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to us. And Lord, give us the heart to do something about it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us here in verse 4 that there was a big crowd that had gathered to hear Jesus. But while Jesus was preaching to these people, he knew the hearts of everybody in there because he's Jesus. Jesus knows the hearts of men. He always knew that in every person's heart, that the people in that crowd, each one of them had a different heart. In other words, they had different things in their heart. He also knew that there would be many people in that crowd who were really not hearing what he had to say. There were people there in that crowd, no doubt, that were not interested in really what Jesus had to say or the message that he was given. And I expect it's pretty much like that this morning here in this church and across in churches all across America. There will be people that come to hear the message preached, and they're going to get a great blessing out of it. And there will be other people who really came here for other reasons and didn't come here to hear the message preached, and they're probably not going to get much out of the message. And so things really haven't changed a whole lot. But Jesus here, notice he says this, he says, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, whether or not you came here for the message or not, listen up to what's being preached. Amen? And so if you came here this morning for it, then you should also listen up to what's being preached. And so he says, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You say, why? Because the heart affects how you hear. Jesus knew the hearts of everybody in that crowd. And then he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That, may I tell you that your heart determines how you listen sometimes. I'll give you an example. If I make my wife mad, and I never do that, by the way, never. Don't think I ever have, actually. But if I make her mad, it's going to affect how she hears some of the things that I say. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and how she takes it. You know, a simple request for a coffee could be fighting words if the heart isn't right. But on the flip side of that, you know, if her heart is totally in love with me, like she always is, and she thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, which she does, then really a request for a cup of coffee would be a blessing. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this. How your heart is affects how you hear things. If your heart is not right, you'll hear things that aren't exactly the way they were meant to be said, or, you know, in other words, the meaning that was intended is not the meaning you're going to hear if your heart isn't right. And so Jesus here, he starts to preach to the crowd. And you know, the thing I find interesting here is even though that there were great crowds of people who listened to Jesus all during his 3.5 years as a ministry, after this, you know, and many people showed up to hear him preach, and all these people showed up. By the time you get over to Acts chapter 1 and you got the disciples up there in that upper room, the Bible says that there were only 120 people there. What happened to all the crowds? Where did all the people go? May I tell you, their hearts were not right. You know, it has to do with the heart. And I can prove it has to do with the heart because Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that this world has ever known. So you can't say, well, his preaching was boring, so he couldn't keep the attention of the crowd. No, that's not it at all. Or you couldn't say, well, he was wrong on his interpretation. No, Jesus is absolutely right. Jesus, when he preaches absolute truth, because he is the Word of God. And so when he gets prepared and preaches, you can't blame Jesus because everybody left. There were only 120 people. By the time you get to Acts chapter 1, that means many of those people, most of those people that heard the preaching, didn't have the right heart. They heard the very words that Jesus preached. And it shows that people don't always have the right heart. Now, in this passage, this is a passage about hearts. That's what it's about. And there are four types of hearts that are seen in this passage of Scripture. And to see the first type of heart the people have, you have to look at verse 12. It talks about the first type of heart that everybody has. Now, what I want to do this morning is when we look at these hearts, I've taught on this passage on a Sunday night here a while back, and we kind of looked at the doctrinal aspects of it, but I want to see how it applies to us this morning. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at each one of these hearts, because everybody in here has one of these four hearts. Everybody does. You can't say, well, none of those apply to me. No, one of them does apply to you this morning. One of them does. So I want you to ask yourself, as we look at these hearts and how they're described this morning, which one applies to you? May I also tell you this morning that there's only one that should. And if it isn't that heart, if that's not the heart that you have this morning, you need to get right with the Lord. Amen? Now, four types of hearts. First heart, look at verse 12. It says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Notice here that it says later on, it says that that the word was sown by the wayside on these people. Now the wayside is a place that gets trampled down when people are walking on it. And so this is really talking about the hard heart. It's talking about the hard heart. Because when the ground gets walked on and stomped all over, that ground gets harder and harder and harder. Now, anybody who's ever done any digging knows that that's true. If you go out there in a field somewhere where, you know, let's say where they've been plowing and it's just normal ground and you go to dig that up, it's pretty soft. But if it's on a walkway or a path where people walk on it all the time and they keep on mashing it down and then water gets on it or snow gets on it and keeps on mashing it down, that becomes very, very hard. That's the wayside. That's where everybody's walking. And so that it's talking about the hard heart here. And may I tell you that when the seed is thrown on that wayside, on that hard ground, that seed will just lay there. It won't, nothing will happen to it. That's the reason you're supposed to cultivate the ground. You're supposed to dig up the ground a little bit and then put the seed there. But if it's just hard, if I take seed out there and I've got a pathway where people have been walking on it all the time and I take seed, that seed is just going to lay there. And what's going to happen is, because it's laying there, pretty soon the birds will come in and swoop it up. Amen? Now, that's what he's talking about here. And may I tell you, that's what's happened to a lot of people today. Maybe some of you this morning have hard hearts. Maybe because you have a hard heart because somebody's been trampling on that heart for a long time. But he's talking here about this hard heart. Back in verse 5, he says, the sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. That's what happens to a hard heart. Those birds in the parable, if you'll notice if you continue reading, those birds in the parable represent the devil. Because in verse 12 it says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. You say, what's the word? That's the seed. You see, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take the seed and we're supposed to plant the seed and we're water the seed and the Lord gives the increase, right? Here he says that when people plant the seed on a hard heart, what happens? It doesn't take root. Devil comes in and swoops it up. You know, that's one of the reasons why when we go out and we witness to people and we go out door to door, we do it on Thursdays and Saturdays. There's actually a reason for that. You know why? Because if we go out on Mondays, now you can go out any day you want to. I'm not telling you don't go out on certain days. But what I'm saying is this, is we can go out there and we can invite them to church or we can go out there and preach the gospel to them on Thursdays or Saturdays. That's closer to Sunday. And if we can get them to keep it in their mind, they may show up to church on Sunday. Amen? However, if you go out there on Monday, you got a whole week for the devil to come in and swoop up that seed. That's the reason we do that. May I tell you this morning, if you have a hard heart, it's going to be very hard for you to get a blessing out of preaching. Why? Because when that seed is sown, when that seed is thrown out there, it's going to sit there and it's not going to take root. And listen, the devil's just waiting to come in and swoop it up. Why? Because he's a thief. He doesn't want to see people get saved. He doesn't want to see people get right with God. And so people, they come to church and sometimes their heart's been trampled on, and when they hear the word of God getting preached, the devil just comes along and snatches it up. And because of that, there are people that may be in this church this morning who have never been saved, and your heart is hard, and because of that, you may not even hear the message this morning. Maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, oh no, not another preacher. He's just sitting there preaching about that same old gospel I hear all the time. And I tell you, the devil will come and swoop that thing up. He'll take it right out of there. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have a hard heart, you need to pray that God will soften your heart, that you'll hear the gospel and believe. Because the devil doesn't want you to get saved. And I tell you this, as a saved person today, you can have a hard heart and hear it as well. Many people today, they come to church with a hard heart, and maybe they get to the point where they say, you know what, I've already heard this message before. I heard this message a while back, and I know exactly how this message is going to be. Go ahead, try to give me a blessing. And there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people, when they hear a preacher get up and start preaching on a message, in their mind they're thinking, you know what, I heard this preacher preach this a long time ago, and that preacher did a whole lot better job than this preacher. And the whole time they're sitting there waiting for the message to end so they can go home. You know, one of the things that irritates me is when people, when you're talking to them, they give you that blank stare, and really they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can go on about their way. That is a description of a hard heart. If you're here this morning and you're just waiting for me to get done so you can go home, your heart is not very soft. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Why? Because the sweetest words you'll ever hear are the words from that Bible. And the words that will help you out spiritually are the words of that Bible. The words you need to hear this morning and take root in you are the words of that Bible. If you're not saved, the only thing that will save you is the gospel found in that Bible. If you are saved here this morning, you got a hard heart, the only thing that's going to soften it up are the words of Jesus Christ, the words of that Bible. This morning, let me ask you, do you have a hard heart this morning? Did you come in here and come in here with a I know it all attitude, and I know more than that preacher? Hey, listen, if you know more than me, join the club. There's a lot of people who know more than me. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you came in here this morning and you say, you know what, I know more than him, and I'm here and nobody's going to teach me anything, and you know what, I don't even care what you have to say. That stuff doesn't even apply to me anyway. You've got a hard heart. And the only thing that's going to change that is Jesus Christ. Do you have a hard heart this morning? Have people mistreated you to the point where you don't even trust churches anymore? Hey, listen, I know people today that say, you know, I don't go to church because that's just an organized, just an organization, and it's not the way it should be. Listen, it's not about that. It's about the Word of God. It's about Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that he describes is a hard heart. Proverbs 28:14 actually gives a warning about the hard heart. It says this in Proverbs 28:14. It says, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And I'll tell you something, folks, that's true. Every person I've ever known who had a hard heart, who would not listen to the Word of God when it's being preached, it's just a matter of time before they mess up. And they fall into mischief. Well, you're always going to follow somebody or something. Always. And people today that have a hard heart towards the Word of God, they'll follow something that's opposite of the Word of God. They'll follow the world. So he talks about the hard heart. Then he gives us a second heart. Jesus speaks here about a second heart, and that is the shallow heart. Look at here in Luke chapter 8, verse 6. It says, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Drop down to verse 13. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Now I want you to pay attention to that word root there. Because over in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2, it says, Jesus is called the root and dry ground. In Isaiah 11:10, Jesus is called the root of Jesse. So if you look at it doctrinally here, according to verse 13, it says, they receive the word with joy and these have no root. You know what that means? That means that whatever they're believing in isn't Jesus Christ. Because they believe Jesus Christ and they would have the root. But they don't. So these people here, doctrinally, are not saved. These people are shallow heart hearers. And may I tell you that even some Christians can be shallow heart hearers too. Even though this Luke chapter 8 verse 6 and Luke chapter 8 verse 13 is primarily talking to those who are not saved, Christians can be very shallow in their heart. When they walk into church, they hear a message, they get convicted, they get right with God. They make the commitment to be faithful and serve the Lord. But then after a while, they just fade away. Just kind of go back to the way that they were. They receive the word with joy, but their heart is shallow. There's no depth there. And if everybody in this room, if you're honest, you know somebody like that this morning. Somebody that, you know, they come to church, they say, I'm going to get it right and I'm going to serve the Lord. And they receive the word of God with joy. And they're like, I'm going to recommit myself. And then they last for about maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then they go right back the way they were. And about every month they have to keep on recommitting to the Lord. You know what the problem is? They have a shallow heart. They have a shallow heart. I'm not saying that we're not going to mess up from time to time. But I will tell you this. If you're the type of Christian that you get fired up and you get right with the Lord, and all of a sudden, and you're fired up and you want to do things, you want to start serving the Lord, and then after a while, it just fades away and you get back the way it used to be, and then you're that way half the time, and then you're serving the Lord half the time, there's something wrong with your heart. It's shallow. It's shallow. And there are a lot of Christians like that today. They have shallow hearts. You know, when I was reading this description here about the shallow heart, it started reminding me of the parking lot. I know it's strange, but it kind of reminds me of the parking lot. During the summertime, you know, one of the things that I do here, about every 2 or 3 weeks, really, is I have to buy, Roundup. And I have to spray the parking lot with Roundup. Now, I know it seems weird, but I have to. And the reason why is because there's cracks inside that parking lot. How many of you know that weeds will get anywhere? Amen? I mean, weeds and grass, it'll just go anywhere. And so in the parking lot where those cracks are, grass and weeds will start coming through there. Now, I noticed something. They're the first ones up. I mean, when everybody else's grass isn't growing, we'll have grass in this parking lot. We'll have weeds in this parking lot, okay? But I also noticed, too, that the weeds and the grass in this parking lot are the first ones to die as well. You know why? Because those roots can only go down so far. See, you get dust and dirt that blows into those cracks, and you just got a little tiny bit of dirt, and then that grass will grow in that little tiny bit of dirt there, but the roots really can't go down. So then when it stops raining, you know, when the Lord turns off the faucet here about from the 4th of July on, and it gets dry, everybody else's grass is still green for a while, but all the grass and the weeds in this parking lot are brown. Why? They didn't have a root. They were shallow. And I tell you, folks, I started thinking about that when I watched, when I read that description about the shallow heart. There are a lot of Christians today. Listen, there a person today that's not saved certainly has no root. They cannot get the waters of life. They can't get that. They can't have that everlasting life flowing up because they have no root. But there are Christians today that are shallow as well. And they're the first ones that'll quit. They're the first ones that'll step away. Why? Because they're shallow in their heart. They're shallow. He talks about the shallow heart. He talks about the hard heart. Now, and when it comes to the shallow heart here, you know, I want you to think about the crowds that followed Jesus when he preached again. And you know, everybody that followed Jesus when he preached, they didn't, like we said before, they didn't follow him for the right reason. And they were shallow in the way that they learned. They were shallow in their heart. Now, I'll show you an example. Turn over to John chapter 6, and I'm going to show you a bunch of shallow Christians. Shallow Christians. John chapter 6. These shallow people here in John chapter 6, they followed the Lord for the wrong reason. And may I tell you, if you follow the Lord for the wrong reason today, if you come to church for the wrong reason, you're going to be shallow, because the first time that anything bad happens, you're going to be the first one to quit. That's the way it is in any church. The reason why people quit, the reason why people quit serving God is because they serve God for the wrong reason. If you serve God for the right reason, if you serve God just because you love him, just because you want to do something for him, just because you want to obey him, just because of what he did for you on the cross, you won't be so quick to quit. But people today, they come in, they serve the Lord for the wrong reason, and the first time that the pastor says something that makes them mad, which, by the way, I'm probably going to say something that's going to make you mad, and the first time that somebody doesn't pat them on the back, first time somebody says something nasty to them because they woke up on the wrong side of the bed, they say, you know what, I don't need to go to that church anymore, so I'm just going to leave. That's what people do. Because they're shallow. Listen, John chapter 6, I'll show you an example. In John chapter 6, remember this crowd, that the crowd that had been following Jesus, they were following because they wanted food. They wanted temporal benefits. They were ready to make him king because he knew that he would give them a free meal. And so they were ready to put him on the voting ballot. But you know what Jesus did that got rid of this big crowd? It's really amazing. You know what he did? He had this big crowd following him. You know what he did? He preached the truth. He preached the truth. The truth that Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven. The truth that his blood is needed for salvation. And that and this truth that he preached offended these people. Now in John chapter 6, look at verse 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now, drop down to verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, Jesus didn't say, now remember this, when these people were offended, when he looked at his disciples and says, does this offend you? Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, no, what they say, there was a misunderstanding, you misread what I said, no, you know, you didn't understand what I was saying. No, he didn't do that. He didn't try to justify what he said. He spoke the truth. And when he spoke the truth, he looked at his disciples and say, does this offend you? I mean, it's offending them. Is it offending you? He never apologized for anything he said. Why? Because what he said was truth. And then it says in verse 66 that the rest of those disciples, the time of many of his disciples, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus didn't justify it. These people, these disciples, when they heard what Jesus had started to preach, they were excited at first. But then after a while, when the truth was told, it says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Bottom line is this, he cleared out the whole place with truth. May I tell you, there are churches in America today that if you actually went in there and started preaching the truth, you'd clear them out too. The first time you started preaching about sin, you'd clear half the crowd out. Why? They would get offended. And we tell you why Christians get offended at the truth today? Because they're shallow. There are a lot of Christians today who can't take the truth. Now, look at what at verse 67. It says, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, Peter is at least smart enough to to know that the truth is the truth, whether he understood it or not. And may I tell you this morning, when you hear the truth being preached, or you hear something preached that maybe you don't quite understand, maybe you've never heard it before. Hey, listen, don't be so shallow to think, well, if I've never heard it before, it must not be true. Hey, there are a lot of things in that Bible I've never heard before. Every time I read it, I see something I've never heard before. Amen? You know what you need to do? We need to be teachable. Now, that doesn't mean to take everything I say and say, well, it has to be truth because Bob Crowder said it. Don't, please don't do that. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Look at those scriptures and see if that's what it's teaching. And if you've never heard it before, who cares? Maybe you just learned something new. Imagine that. Amen? The problem is so many people today think they already know everything, and they see something new, they just assume it couldn't be true because, after all, if I don't know it, it obviously isn't true. That is a shallow Christian. That's a shallow Christian. I tell you this, folks. If you're teachable, you'd be surprised all the things the Lord will teach you in that Bible. There are things in that Bible that just make you want to jump for joy that you've never seen before. I call those things nuggets. I love them. And just when I'm reading something, there are passages I've read hundreds of times, and all of a sudden I read that thing on time 101, and all of a sudden I see something I've never seen before. Ever. Ever. I'll give you an example. I wasn't going to do this, but I'll give you an example. Remember when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Remember that passage? We know that Jesus Christ is a rock, right? The question is what's the it? The gates of hell will never prevail against it. Most people teach that's a church, right? Church ever been to the gates of hell? No. Who has? Jesus Christ has. Now think about that verse again. You see, those are things, if we're teachable, we can catch those things. We can learn those things. But there are people today that say, you know what? I know what I've been taught. You're not going to teach me anything. And if I hear it, listen, I knew a family one time that came to church, and I was teaching them just the basic things of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 is just an amazing chapter. You start to read about it. Basically, it describes hell. That's what it does. And it describes that there is burning in hell, there is fire in hell, and those types of things. How many of you know there are people today that teach there's no fire in hell, there's no torment? Hey, listen, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is fire in hell, that in Luke chapter 16 it says, let Lazarus dip the finger in the water so he may cool my tongue from the torments of this flame. Probably means there's flame there. Jesus over in Mark chapter 9 says where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, said it three straight times. I'd say there's probably fire there. But I was teaching on this thing, and I was just teaching the basics about how it describes hell and everything. And this family, when they got done, they walked outside and said, that preacher there is preaching strange doctrine. Strange doctrine. Strange doctrine? In other words, couldn't bring out the scriptures. He just never heard it before. That's shallow. Don't be shallow. Hey, listen, you don't believe everything that's being taught. You only believe what the Word of God teaches. Amen? But be teachable. In other words, listen to what it's teaching you. A lot of Christians, they are shallow. They're so shallow that you can't teach them anything. The Word of God couldn't teach them anything. And there are things in this world that'll mess things up for you. But Peter here, he understood. Even though he didn't understand exactly what the Lord said, he said, you know what? You're preaching the truth. You're preaching the words of eternal life. And so this word, it comes up real quick, but then it withers away as soon as you get offended. And then there's a third type of heart that Jesus speaks of in this passage. And that's the divided heart. The divided heart. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 8, verse 7. It says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Drop down to verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So here it's talking about people who hear the word of God, they get fired up, they go out with the intentions of serving the Lord. They have the full intention of applying the truth that they've heard. And Jesus says they go out, but then they get choked spiritually. You know, there's a lot of stuff in life that will choke you spiritually. There's a lot of things that you can allow in your life today that will choke you spiritually. There are things in this world that will take up your time and your energy that you could be using for the work of the Lord. And the devil wants to divide your heart with those things. He tempts you with those things. He tries to get you focused on those things. He wants you doing other things that will make you give up the most important thing, and that is serving the Lord. How many of you think that reading your Bible is pretty important? You know how many Christians, they don't have time to read the Bible because they're being choked out by something else? They got other priorities. They got other things that they consider to be high priority things. I'm not saying there aren't high priorities. I'm not saying you don't have high priorities in your life. I'm sure everybody in this room has very high priorities, but nothing should ever take time from your Bible reading. Nothing should ever take time from your prayer. Nothing should ever take time from your time coming to church and having an opportunity to worship the Lord. Nothing should take up that time. But there are so many people today that they have good intentions. They want to serve the Lord, but they got so much stuff going on, they just don't have the time. That's a divided heart. The things of this world are choking them out spiritually. They're choking out the effect that the Lord could have upon them through His Word. And the devil wants to divide our heart. Notice here that these things that choke us spiritually are divided into three different categories. Notice it's divided between, the three categories are cares, riches, and pleasures. It says those are the three things that choke it out, that choke the Christian, that choke a Christian spiritually. Cares, riches, and pleasures. Now I know that there are things that we need to take care of in life. I understand that. Yeah, but you have to make sure your priorities are right. Listen, I know that your job is important, but your priorities have got to be right. There's nothing wrong with cares. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. I got a great pleasure on New Year's Day. You know what it was? I got to go sledding on a hill with a bunch of crazy people. Amen? I wouldn't have done it, but Isaiah made that thing. Well, we got this thing between me and Isaiah. I'll say, well, if I'll do it, if you do it, I'll do it. That's the reason you saw me wear a bow tie here about 3 weeks ago. Okay? Well, the same thing happened on the sledding hill, too. I didn't think he would do it. So I said, you go up on that hill and do it, I'll go down that hill and slide down it. You know what happened? I go there to drop the boys off, and then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there in my nice warm car. It's like 5 degrees outside. I'm thinking, man, 5 degrees, ain't nobody going. I already saw Brother Jeremy up there, but he's nuts anyway. And so I'm up there, and Brother Reuben, he was up there, and he's crazy too. But I'm thinking to myself, there's no way Isaiah's going to do this. He's like me. He appreciates the warmth. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I see that door open, and out he steps. He goes to the back of the car, and he gets a sled, and he kind of does his number. Looks back at me and goes, and up that hill, he starts to walk. So, what can I do? So I was like, man. So I go and put on my stuff, and I head up that hill too. Somehow or another, I end up going first. I don't know how that happened. But I'll tell you this, that's the fastest I've ever went on a sled. I mean, it was scary. I mean, totally out of control. That was a pleasure. It was. It was a great pleasure knowing that I didn't get hurt at the end too. Amen. But it was a great pleasure. Nothing wrong with pleasures. Problem is, you can't let those pleasures take the time away from the Lord. That's the problem. Because if you let those pleasures and let those cares and you let those things take time away from the Lord, it will choke you spiritually. In other words, you're not going to be able to grow as much spiritually. You know, one of the things that I was taught when I was young that, you know, my dad, he was a person who could just grow anything. I mean, he had like the green thumb of green thumbs. And I remember he would grow, he'd plant a tree and that tree would start to grow and he'd want to make sure that tree was perfectly straight. So he'd put, you know, wires and things around to make sure it grew up straight. And he always told me, don't make it too tight. Because if you make it too tight, you'll choke that tree out. If you choke that tree out, it's not going to do any good at all. It certainly won't produce fruit. It probably will die. And he said, whatever you do, just lay it around there and make it to where there's pressure, but it's not too tight. You know, problem is this. There are a lot of Christians today that could be producing fruit, but they're not, because they're being choked off by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. And they're not producing any fruit at all. They're not growing as Christians because they've been They're being choked off. They haven't matured as much as they should have because of all the things going on in their lives. And may I tell you today, if you have things going on in your life that's choking you off, get rid of those things. So that you can start producing fruit, so you start growing as a Christian. Now I want to point out something else. Not only is it just worldly things like pleasures and cares and those things, but according to your Bible, even things that are godly things can sometimes be used by the devil to get you, to stop you from serving the Lord like you should be. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? You know, sometimes Christians can get so involved in doing certain things, extra-biblical things, that have the intention of helping people grow in the Lord and helping people out, that they get so involved in those things that they forget the most important thing. And that is the time with the Lord, prayer, reading the Bible, those things. Those are the most important things. Now we see an example of this in Scripture. Turn if you would over to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to show you an example of this. Luke chapter 10 tells us basically a story of two people. One who was busy doing the work and one who was doing a good thing. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, look if you would, starting at verse 38. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve me alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now I want you to get something here. You're talking about boldness. You realize what this woman just said to Jesus? She just said, listen, what I'm doing back here in the kitchen is more important than what you're saying. More important than the Word of God. That's what you just said. And Jesus answered and said unto her, boy, the grace that Jesus gives. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. How many things are needful? One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So what you have here is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in every word that he says, and there in the kitchen you have Martha working. Now I want to point out something here. Neither one of these women are doing anything wrong. Amen? I mean, Mary's right there at his feet, listening to every word, and Martha's over here and she's serving. Hey, listen, she's in the kitchen to serve the Lord. He's there and she's in the kitchen. We don't know what everything's doing, but I imagine she's probably baking this and stirring that, you know, doing kitchen stuff. One was laboring for the Lord, one was sitting and listening to the Lord. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that we need more Marthas in churches. We do. We need more Christians who will volunteer to do things at church. We need more Christians who will help out with the teens and the young people. And I'm thankful for the workers we have in this church that are doing the work of the Lord. But at the same time, even Martha needed to spend time at Jesus' feet. Even Martha did. She had to do that. And I want to point out something else that you may have missed when it comes to Mary and Martha. If you'll remember, it was Mary who, before Jesus died, about a week before he died actually, it was Mary who came in there with the alabaster box. And remember, she came in there and she anointed Jesus Christ. She anointed him while he was still alive. Amen? What a blessing that must have been. I mean, here's Jesus sitting at the chair, and you have an opportunity to anoint him. Wow, what a blessing that would be, amen? But everybody else, when did they come to anoint Jesus? After he died. Does it make sense that maybe the Lord will reveal more to those people who spend time at his feet than to those people who are always busy, 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 busy? Let me tell you how you get things revealed to you. By the Holy Spirit of God through that Bible. You give up reading that Bible time and you miss out on things that the Lord will reveal to you. You'll miss out on it. That's the reason why when here Mary is, she's saying right there at Jesus' feet and she's listening to every word. And Jesus said she has chosen the good part. The thing that's most meaningful. One thing is needed. That's the thing that's most needed, is time at Jesus' feet. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you serve the Lord, amen, keep on serving the Lord. But make sure your priorities are right. Don't let the fact that you're a service for the Lord stop you from doing the most important thing, and that's spending time with the Lord. So many people today forget that. They get so busy. And listen, the devil, how subtle is the devil? How shrewd is the devil that he will get you doing something that's godly to the point where you forget to even pray? Isn't that something? That's what he does. And these people here, they had a divided heart. These people that Jesus was preached to, they had a divided heart. And there are a lot of Christians today that are divided in their hearts. There are a lot of people today that allow things in their life that chokes them out. And some of those people are even Christians who allow even the work of the Lord to choke them out. Jesus was made the priority by Mary. She had chosen that good part. So we've seen the hard heart this morning. We've seen the shallow heart. We've seen the divided heart. But then I want you to look at what the scripture says about the heart that all of us should have. And that's the good heart. And this is a heart where God can do something with. This is a heart that God can get into a person and do something. In Luke chapter 8, look if you would at verse 8, it says, "And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold." Verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they," now watch, "which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Now, you know what you need to have in order to have a blessing from the church this morning, a blessing from the preaching is to have a good heart. You say, "Well, I want a good heart. How do I get a good heart?" Well, notice what Jesus said there. He used the word honest. Honest. You know, we live in a society that's not honest. We live in a society that will try to convince you that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. That is not honest. They're dishonest. But if we're going to have a good heart, then we must be honest. There's no way you can have a good heart if you're not honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. And when a preacher starts preaching about some sin that you know that you're already doing, don't get mad at the preacher. Be honest with yourself. Don't get offended. Be honest with yourself. Now turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read about a woman who had an honest heart. I mean a real honest heart. In fact, this chapter here, it never ceases to amaze me every time I read it. Talking about the honest heart. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Look, if you were at verse 22. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So what you have here is you have a Gentile woman that comes to the Lord. She calls him Lord. She calls him the son of David. And she asks that he basically for his help. Now remember, Jesus had been walking through and he had been casting out devils and he had been making the lame to walk and he had been making the blind to see. He had been raising people from the dead. He had been doing all these different things. And so obviously this Gentile woman had heard of all the things that Jesus had been doing. So she comes to Jesus and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now notice here that some of the things that happened. I want you to ask yourself, how do you think that people would react today if it happened to them? How would you react today if it happened to you this way? Not only did the disciples want her to go away, not only when she first said, "Lord, have mercy on me," he answered her not a word. You know what that means? He ignored her. How many of you like when you're talking to somebody and they don't say a word back to you? Like that? So disciples, they want her taken away, and they said, "Well, let's get this woman out of here." Jesus didn't say a word, and then when he did answer her, he said this. It is not meet to take the dogs. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Ladies, how do you think you'd handle that? How do you think that many Christian women today would handle that? If you ask the Lord for help and he says, I'm not going to take what I have and give it to dogs. You know what would happen to most Christians today? They get offended and they would leave. They would. In fact, most Christians I know today, if they heard those words, they'd say, fine. They don't want me here. You ignored me at first, and now you're saying that I'm a dog. And they would up and leave. Amen? What did she do? She stayed there. Notice she didn't argue either. You know what happened? She understood that what he said was true. Keep on reading. Look what it says. It says here, he says, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet that I should take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And then she said in verse 27, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. She knew it was the truth. Listen, she knew that she was a sinner before the Lord. She knew that she was unclean before the Lord. She didn't get mad when the Lord said, listen, you're unclean. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to do these things. I'm not going to answer your prayers. You don't deserve anything that I have. And she said, of the truth, Lord, I don't deserve it. But Lord, I know you can do it. And I'm just asking that you do it. She acknowledged it was the truth. When the truth was told to her, she did not get offended. She did not get up and leave. She said, truth, Lord, what you're saying is absolute truth, but I need your help. You know what the Lord did? Lord recognized the fact she recognized it was truth. The Lord recognized the fact that truth didn't offend her so much that she left. And then she said this in verse 28, said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know why she got her prayer answered? Because she was honest. She was honest with herself. You know, an honest heart doesn't try to justify himself. An honest heart could take a lot of truth without being offended. And a person with an honest heart will produce much fruit. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is this, folks. Is if you want a good heart, you have to be honest with yourself. And when the truth is being preached, there are people today, when they hear the truth being preached, they get offended and they walk out the door and say, you know what? That preacher over there is always preaching about sin, a bunch of hypocrites. Hell, why, he does the same thing I do and he's sitting there preaching against it. I probably do the same thing you do. We're all sinners. The only difference between us and a lost person, the fact we've been forgiven, amen? Hadn't changed us. It should change us some, but let's face it, we still got a lot of problems. We still mess up. And listen, when the Word of God preaches, says truth, and when you're reading it and it points out truth, or when a preacher is preaching it and he's preaching the truth of the Word of God, don't get offended at what the Word of God said. In other words, don't get offended at a preacher. I'm just a messenger. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. If you really want to get mad at somebody, take it up with the Lord who wrote the book. It's his words. And if he says that there's a sin in your life and you need to take care of it, be honest with yourself and say, yes, Lord, of truth, Lord. Truth. I need to get right. Be honest with yourself. When the truth is preached, don't get offended. Listen, I don't know enough about anybody in this room to preach at you this morning. I don't. I really don't. It's not my job to preach at you this morning. My job is just to preach the Word of God. So if you're getting offended this morning, if you feel uncomfortable this morning, it's not me. It's not me. It's just a message. Now, everybody in here this morning has one of those hearts. The question is, do you have a hard heart this morning? Was it hard before you ever came in here? In other words, you're just waiting for me to finish so you can go home. Or maybe your heart is a divided heart. Maybe you're being choked out by things in life. Maybe you're even being choked out by doing the work of the Lord. Maybe you have a shallow heart this morning. You know, you get started, you move for the Lord, you get really excited. You probably may even get excited about the message this morning, but in about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll wither away, go back to the way it was. Or do you have a good heart this morning? by being honest with yourself and knowing that the Word of God is truth, and whatever it says to you, it's the Lord's message to you, and this pastor isn't in it at all. It's just the Lord's message. And if you will take the message the Lord gives you, not get offended, be honest with yourself and know it's the truth, take care of whatever it is in your life that's choking you out spiritually. Take care of whatever it is, whatever sin it is that you're harboring this morning, and just be honest with yourself and keep a clean slate with the Lord. You know what will happen? You'll produce much fruit as a Christian. Much fruit. You'll start to see things in your life start to change. You'll start to see things in life start to be more godly in the things that you do. You'll start to see fruit. Which heart do you have this morning? You should have the good heart.